Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor was the question that was posed in this morning's gospel lesson from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 10th chapter, by the lawyer. That is, him who practiced the law of Israel, a religious man that was skilled and trained in the law. St. Luke tells us that he was wanting to justify himself, but this was really an encounter with Jesus that was, in a way, a confrontation and an adversarial encounter with our Lord. But he knew enough about the law to be able to recite the Shema, that is, to hear, O Israel, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And he was even able to add, and thy neighbor as thyself. But he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And this is when Jesus gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. He says that this man, he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and I've shared before that journey is a very treacherous journey. Pam and I had the opportunity when we were visiting Israel to travel, except we went from Jericho up to Jerusalem. But the road there descends many hundreds of feet through the course of that, winding down through large ravines, rocky terrain, with deep valleys, narrow valleys, dark valleys, such that there's a part of that that is called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, from which King David, in his 23rd Psalm, references. It's a very dangerous place, because it was there that thieves and robbers would lie. So as the listeners, as the disciples, as this lawyer heard this reference to this road was very clear, that it was a notorious place, and it was there in this very dangerous and foreboding place that this man would be robbed and beaten and left for dead. But Jesus goes on to say how first a priest came down, and a priest, looking at the man, went around and continued on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, and we can think of a Levite as sort of a deacon in the church. And when he arrived, he came and he looked, and no doubt that these men, these religious men, thinking that they could not have any contact with the dead. But even if they didn't believe him to be dead, the Levite also went on the other side and continued down the way. But it was a Samaritan. A Samaritan, and of course we know that the Samaritans were half-Jews. They were considered not part of the true Israel by the Jews. They were despised, in fact, by Israel. But it was a Samaritan who would come by and see this man. And Jesus said that in this encounter, he had compassion. He had compassion on the man. Compassion, as I've said before, means to share in one's suffering. To empathize in such a way that it fills up, and the Greek word here is from the bowels, from our inner being. We share in this person's plight and suffering. And so this man who was despised by the Jews, by the chosen of God, took him and poured oil and wine on his wounds. He put him on his own animal and took him to an inn. And there stayed with him. And the next day he gave the innkeeper some money and said, if you have more expenses in taking care of him, I'll return and pay you back. And so Jesus poses the question to this lawyer. He said, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer, of course, had to answer, he who showed mercy on him. You see, he wasn't even willing to name the Samaritan, but said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? You know, in the English, neighbor most typically has the connotation of somebody who lives nearby. You know, perhaps a next door neighbor or a neighbor across the street or a few blocks down, we refer to as our neighbor. But these are people that we have regular contact with. These are people, in some cases, that we are very invested in. We live in a common area, and so we have common concerns. But the word for neighbor, the biblical word for neighbor, doesn't mean just somebody who's living nearby, but it means the other. Literally, it means the other. It doesn't necessarily mean just our next door neighbor. It means whoever that we might have contact with, even if it was just a chance meeting, whether that be the person riding down the road next to us, that's our neighbor. The person that we may meet in a store, in a chance encounter, the homeless man on the street is our neighbor. And Jesus in this teaching begins to open to us the reality of the gospel. You know, it's often talked about, especially when conservative and evangelicals are referring to liberal theology, often referring to it as proclaiming social gospel. And while I don't personally like the term social gospel, because I believe that the gospel is inherently social, that we shouldn't make that distinction, we certainly begin to understand something about the fact, or this indictment of social gospel really refers to the liberal tendency to take human compassion, to see our neighbor in need, to see the injustices carried out in society, and to put our concern for that above the truth of God, above the doctrines of the faith. But the other danger for us, especially as Orthodox, is to become like the lawyer, to become knowledgeable and learned in the correct doctrines of God, to worship rightly, to confess our faith rightly, but to fail to enflesh the gospel, to fail to love the other. You see, standing before this lawyer and his disciples, Jesus was telling them just prior to the encounter with the lawyer that Jesus said to them, there are many who don't recognize, don't acknowledge what is before you, what you were able to see. He said, kings and prophets have longed to see what you see. And yet, here was the word, the eternal word of God, the Logos, standing before them. And many had missed the mark. Many, even among the people of God, among the people of Israel, among these leaders, who had failed to live out the word, who had failed to live out the gospel. And we likewise have that tendency. You see, one of the aspects of fallen human nature is to be self-absorbed, to look out for number one, to take care of me first. And if I've got anything left over, maybe I can love my neighbor. And maybe my neighbor is just my family. Or maybe my neighbor is just the people within my household of faith. Or perhaps my neighbor is those who have the same political views that I have. Perhaps that my neighbor is only those who hold common interest to me. Perhaps my neighbor is only those whom I like. But Jesus is telling us another entirely different thing. You see, the gospel, indeed a social gospel, breaks into our lives in a radical way and confronts us with our own self-absorption, our own self-centeredness, our own pride, and calls us to love everyone, to love those especially who have been marginalized, who've been forgotten by society, to love the suffering. The church fathers teach us that the reason we have the poor, and that the reason so much of Scripture is devoted to teaching us about taking care of the poor and the widow is for the salvation of those who have. While we are the haves, and we can become prideful and self-reliant and self-sufficient, God has given us the poor and the suffering and the marginalized for our salvation, to enable us to see the image of God in every human being. Because in the end, it doesn't matter how faithful we were in coming to church, how faithful we were in saying our prayers and tithing our income. When it comes down to brass tacks, we will be judged upon how we responded to our neighbor with a heart of love, with a heart of compassion. Robert Emmett Judge was born on May the 11th, 1933 in Brooklyn, New York, the son of Irish immigrants. And Robert studied in Franciscan schools and in the 1950s followed a vocational call to monasticism in entering the Order of Franciscans. And after was subsequently ordained a Roman Catholic priest, taking the name Michael, using the Irish spelling of Michael. Then around 1971, Father Michael, unbeknownst to anybody, had developed alcoholism. And he actively struggled with that disease for some 7 years, but with the support of Alcoholics Anonymous, he became sober and continued to share his personal story of alcoholism, helping others who faced addiction. And a recovering Father Michael then in 1992 was appointed a chaplain to the New York City Fire Department. And as a chaplain, he worked tirelessly, sometimes 16 hours a day, praying at fires and at rescues and counseling firemen, visiting the injured in hospitals, working with their families. In fact, Father Michael was very well known around the city for truly living out this gospel, and this gospel that was demonstrated a true love for his fellow man. As Father Michael ministered to the homeless, the hungry, to those who were recovering alcoholics, for people with AIDS, the sick, the injured, the grieving, the immigrants who were lonely, those who had been alienated by society. For example, it's told that Father Michael one day in the wintertime was going down the street and seeing a homeless woman shivering without a coat, he took his own overcoat off and gave it to the woman, saying she needed it more than me. And when Father Michael anointed a man who was dying of AIDS, the man asked him, "Do you think God hates me?" And Father Michael just picked him up and kissed him and silently rocked this man in his arms, demonstrating a very real and present and manifest presence of Christ. Then on September the 11th, 2001, upon learning of the World that the World Trade Center had been hit by the first of two jetliners. Father Michael rushed there and was met by Mayor, at that time, Mayor Rudy Giuliani, the mayor of New York, who Mayor Giuliani asked him, asked Father Michael to begin to pray for the city and its victims. And so Father Michael began to pray. He prayed over the bodies of some of those who were lying in the streets, then entered the lobby of the World Trade Center, the North Tower, where an emergency command post had been set up and organized. And there he continued offering aid and prayers for the rescue of the injured and the dead. But when the South Tower collapsed at 9:59 a.m., debris went flying through the North Tower lobby, killing many inside, including Father Michael. At the moment that he was struck in the head by this debris, Father Michael, according to his biographer, was repeatedly praying aloud, "Jesus, please end this right now. God, please end this now." Father Michael, even though obviously was not the first death that happened that day, Father Michael happened to be the first recorded fatality, the first victim received by the coroner's office. Father Michael, a priest, a man of God, who followed a vocation and serving our Lord, was a man who was also broken. Not only was he a recovering alcoholic who had struggled with his own addictions, but Father Michael also had acknowledged rather openly of his homosexuality, of his struggle with his sexual orientation, albeit he had lived a celibate life as a Franciscan, as a priest, as a man of God. And while there are those who will try to politicize his life or make Father Michael an icon for causes which are not compatible or consistent with the teachings of the church, I believe that Father Michael demonstrates for us this day, on this 15th anniversary of 9/11, of what it means, what it truly means to love our neighbor. But Father Michael's story is just one of many, many heroic acts that happened not only there at Ground Zero in New York, but upon that flight in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and there at the Pentagon, as many sacrificed, as many put themselves in harm's way for others that they did not know in some cases. But at that moment, they were neighbors. For those of us who were here in 2011, we remember the unity that we experienced. A unity that drew us together in the midst of a shared tragedy, national tragedy, of a shared suffering that we all were undergoing. But it didn't take long before the divisions began to exist. And now, 15 years later, we see a deeply divided and polarized country that is expressed in our politics, that is expressed in a lack of empathy for others. But we, the church, have the opportunity, as we commemorate this day 15 years later, to not only remind the world of those sacrifices that were made, but an opportunity for you and me to manifest that love of Christ, to put into action the gospel in loving the least, the lost, the lonely, loving the unlovable with a heart of humility. Let us remember that day. Let us remember Father Michael and all those who help us, who remind us of what it means to truly love our neighbor. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, who art thyself the hope of the hopeless, the help of the helpless, the savior of the storm-tossed, the haven of the voyager, the physician of the sick. Be all things to our land, which 15 years ago on this date was devastated by the cowardly and hateful acts of false martyrs, who imitated wicked Herod in his slaughter of the 14,000 innocents. To those who lost loved ones, grant the comfort thou didst impart to Mary and Martha before thou didst raise their brother Lazarus from the dead, and care for them as thou didst care for thy mother from the cross, putting her in the care of the Apostle John. To the survivors, grant healing in every sense, as thou didst strengthen and heal the confessors. To those related to and aiding the survivors and the families of the fallen, grant the strength and compassion thou didst instill in thine adopted father Joseph, who was thy guardian in thine earthly youth. To those who died, grant remission of their every sin in thy great compassion, both to those who, like the wise servant and the wise virgin, constantly prepared themselves to enter the heavenly banquet at any hour, as well as those who emulated the rich fool, preferring to enjoy earthly pursuits and ignore heavenly ones. To us, grant the knowledge that while the devil still manipulates our divinely given free will to his own ends in this world, his power is fleeting and ultimately void, as thou hast already crushed his dominion. And as for those who hate us, speak to their hearts, as St. Procla sought to speak to her husband Pontius Pilate concerning thee, and as thou didst speak to Pharaoh concerning the Hebrews, and so soften the hearts of those who seek our destruction. Spare, O Lord, those who protect us, the law enforcement agents and the first responders, from despondency, disillusionment, and all things which would undermine their righteous calling to protect us in the manner of our guardian angels, and care for us in the manner of the Good Samaritan. All this we ask of thee, our all-powerful and all-loving Savior, giving glory to thee together with thine unoriginate Father and thine all-holy and good and life-giving and comforting Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.